Good morning, and you're all very welcome this morning. We're starting a new series. It'll be just a few weeks, 3, 4, 5 weeks. I'm not sure how many yet, but a short series on biblical lament. And we'll be looking at the Psalms as well as Lamentations. Now, I love the old hymns. I love newer hymns and praise music as well, but I love many of the old hymns. Some we sing here and some we don't. Some that I grew up with, we don't sing here. But one of my favorite hymns is one that we do sing, and it's a hymn of lament. The writer of the hymn was a rich Christian lawyer in Chicago who is friends with the most famous American evangelist, Dwight L. Moody. The tragedy happens to everyone, rich or poor, and the Spaffords were no exception. Their firstborn son, Horatio Jr., died when he was 4. Then the Great Chicago Fire happened and destroyed many of the buildings and businesses that Spafford owned, and as well as killing over 300 people. The Spaffords sailed to England to see their friend preach in London, but due to a delay in his business, Horatio sent his wife and 4 daughters ahead of him. Their ship was hit by another ship and went down within 12 minutes. The 4 daughters were drowned, while Anna survived. Horatio sailed as soon as he received the telegram from Anna, and when his ship passed over the same location, the captain told him when that happened. And the story goes that Horatio went back to his cabin and wrote, "When peace like a river." Horatio said he never thought of them in the deep, but that they were with God, his dear lambs, as he called them. After Anna was rescued, Pastor Nathaniel Weiss, one of the ministers traveling with the surviving group, remembered hearing Anna say, God gave me 4 daughters. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why." Naturally, Anna was utterly devastated, but she testified that in her grief and despair, she had been conscious of a soft voice speaking to her, "You are saved for a purpose." She remembered something a friend had once said, "It's easy to be grateful and good when you have so much, but take care that you are not a fair-weather friend to God." They had 3 more children, of which the only other son, another Horatio Jr., died at age 4. They moved to Jerusalem and spent the rest of their lives working with the poor and preaching the gospel. Horatio died in Jerusalem in 1888 from malaria, and Anna lived until 1923. Both were buried in Jerusalem. I share this story because of the great tragedy they had in their lives. Now, we're not told of all their emotions, but as you would expect, there would have been anger and doubt and questioning. They would have asked, "Why, Lord? How difficult was it to write the words, 'When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll'?" Horatio and Anna lived years full of lament, yet they never gave up on God, but they leaned in ever closer to God, giving their lives in service to Him in Jerusalem. So let me ask you, what is lament? Why do we lament? When do we lament? Well, our mourning and grieving over the death of a friend or a loved one will trigger a time of lament. Grieving and concern over the extended illness of someone or a tragic accident can cause a time of lament. It is crying out to God over difficult and seemingly impossible situations. We lament as we pray for someone's salvation over a long period of time. Lament is not just due to grieving over someone's death, but it is the anguish and hopelessness that we feel during a difficult situation. Not everything in life is easy. We only need to think about each other within the church, and we could list many challenges in life. We mourn over the passing of mothers and fathers, and sisters and brothers and friends. We lament over the illnesses of children and the anxiety and feeling of helplessness that the parents endure. We lament over children and spouses and other female family members that need salvation. We mourn for our friends who are going through very difficult times. Life is not easy. Biblical lament allows us to wrestle with sorrow, to grapple with the pain that comes with tragedy. Lamenting is our journey through that difficult time, and it truly is a gift from the Lord. Did you know that at least a third of the Psalms are Psalms of lament? Did you know that Jesus lamented? He lamented over the death of his friend, Lazarus. He lamented over people who were spiritually lost. He lamented over the city of Jerusalem. If you're wondering if it's wrong to lament, then the answer is no. If Christ is our example and he lamented over people and tragedies, then we can lament too. Think of Horatio and Ann Spafford as their story as I read through these verses from Psalm 77, or maybe even think about your own life, your own things, the tragedies that you're dealing with and your time of lament that maybe you're in right now. You know, through his journey in the Psalm, you're going to see that he goes from crying out to God, complaining to God, asking a request of God, to finally an expression of trust and praise. Lament is our travels through sorrow, and God travels with us. He is always there. Lament is how we bring our sorrow to God. As Ann Spafford was told, it's easy to be grateful to God during the good times, but don't be a fair weather friend to God during the bad times. True biblical lament will always lead us to God, crying out to him, complaining if need be, asking God to help us, and leading us to worship him, even in our hurting. And I know this was a long introduction, yet I hope this helps us as we look at Psalm 77 this morning. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You may have heard of the five stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. But it's never a smooth transition. You're going to feel several of those things all at one time. There's no straight line or nice smooth line. It's messy because emotions are messy. Lament is grief and mourning on a more spiritual level. And there's four stages. Some people might say five, but we're going to go with the four stages. Yes, we grieve. We go through the grief process, but being someone who has faith in God and a follower of Christ, we experience grief differently because we have hope in Christ. There are four stages during a lament: addressing God, crying out to God, complaining to God, requesting from God, and trusting in and praising God. True lament will lead us to worship God during our trials. This first stage is addressing God, crying out to God, praying to God. Every stage is a part of our prayer life with God. Notice verse 1, I cry aloud to God, and He will hear me. I mean, our first step should be prayer. We are to bring everything to the Lord in prayer, no matter the emotion, no matter the trials or praises. He wants to hear from both. Verse 2 shows the prayer position of hands outstretched to the Lord, praying through our tears and struggles. See, anyone can pray, but it takes faith to pray a lament to the Lord. Anyone can cry, but it takes faith to pray a lament to the Lord. Why do people stop praying? Well, many times when we go through struggles and times of grief, we stop praying. We feel so hurt and alone, we dwell in that place of self-pity and despair. And for some reason, we feel comfortable there, yet we don't feel comforted. We're comfortable, but not comforted, if that makes sense. And you know what? It's okay to feel that way. It's okay to go through all of the emotions as long as you remember and recognize that God is there with you and He cares about you. And if you browse through the Psalms, just leafing through them and looking at the first line of every Psalm, how many times do they start with, Hear my cry, O Lord? That's Psalm 61. For God, my soul waits in silence. Psalm 62. O God, earnestly I seek you. Psalm 63. Hear my voice, O God, and my complaint. Psalm 64. Psalm 74 starts, Why do you cast us off forever? This should encourage you. Why? Because you're not alone. And you're not the first one to go through this. You're not the only one going through trials. The writer of these Psalms was going through trials. And he's asking the same questions we're asking. Since Adam sinned, man has gone through trials and tribulations, lamenting to God, seeking comfort from the Lord. And the first step is to pray. And to pray and seek God during your time of trials. Now, what do people complain about? Well, pretty much anything, especially the weather, especially today. You meet someone at the coffee shop or in Tesco's, and the first comment is usually, the weather is dreadful. It's freezing. I'm tired of the rain. When it comes to complaining to God, many people feel strange about doing that. Is it okay to complain to God? Not complain about God. People do enough of that, but it's complaining to God. Well, why not? God wants to hear everything. He already knows. He wants you to voice it to Him. It's okay to vent to God. You can vent to someone else, and they may or may not care. Plus, they can't do anything about it anyway. But God will always care, and only He can give us the comfort that we seek. Notice the psalmist saying, My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. I am so troubled, I cannot speak. He is complaining. He is telling God, I don't want to be comforted. I am in too much pain. When I try to pray, I have no words. I have no voice. I am at a loss. See, the struggle is real. These emotions are real, and I am sure that many here today can relate to this. Life is hard. I cannot imagine what Horatio and Anna suffered. I can't imagine what some of you this morning have suffered. Yet all of us can sympathize and empathize. We can sympathize by saying, I am sorry that you are suffering and going through such pains. And we can empathize because I can relate to your suffering within my own suffering. I can understand. Pray your complaints to God when prayers don't seem to be answered. When you feel God is not listening, keep praying. When it seems like prayer is doing nothing, keep praying. Keep complaining to God. Keep seeking God's comfort. Grief and lament has no timetable. Now, it's easy to go back and think through our past, looking at the good times and the challenges. Where was God during all these times? I was chatting with some ministry friends recently, and one was saying that throughout his life, there have been times of challenges and difficulties. And then there was the moment when God was there to bring him through. Every valley of hardship ended in God lifting him up out of that situation. Well, in verses 5 and 6, the psalmist is looking back through his life, thinking about all the times of his life, good or bad, making a diligent search. He lists several questions. Will the Lord spurn me forever? Will I never find favor with God? Has his steadfast love ceased? Have his promises ended? Has God forgotten to be gracious to me? Is God angry with me and withdrew his compassion? I mean, this is honest praying. Reading these questions are sad. You feel sorry for the person who is at such a difficult state in life that they're asking these questions. Now, did the psalmist truly feel that God had abandoned him? I don't think so. He is searching deep in his soul, and he's asking these questions honestly. The author on a book about lament said this concerning these questions. He said, does the psalmist really believe God isn't loving, doesn't keep his promises, and is unfaithful? I don't think so, but he does something important here. Honestly praying this way recognizes that pain and suffering often create difficult emotions that are not based upon truth, but feel that they are true. The emotions are not based on truth, but they feel that they are true. Honest, humble, pain-filled questions are part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. It takes faith to lay our painful questions before the Lord. Anyone can pray. Anyone can cry. But it takes faith to turn to God and lament. And when you have a relationship with someone, whether it be a friendship or a romantic relationship, a work situation, there is a level of trust needed for those relationships to be strong. To build up that trust with another person requires faith on your part. I have faith to trust you as a close friend, to trust you as a spouse. It takes faith on our part to trust someone, to let them into our inner circles. To trust God means I have faith in Him to help me through the challenges I am facing. Praying a lament to God takes faith. And by doing so, we are telling Him we trust Him. The greatest reminder that God is with us through trials and challenges is in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All of us can say we have walked through that valley with the shadow of death looming over us, surrounding us like a mist. Yet God is always with us. He might not take the pain away, but He will walk through that pain with us. And that's what the psalmist remembers in our text this morning. He goes back and he looks at God's proven record of saving His people. That's what's meant in verse 10 when it says, I will appeal to you to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. All biblical references to the right hand means strength. The right hand was the symbol of strength, since predominantly everybody was right-handed. So what does the psalmist do? He remembers. And verse 11 tells us he remembers the deeds of the Lord, his wonders of old. Twice he says he remembers, which emphasizes the importance of his search for God's mighty works in Jewish history. And once he remembers, he meditates on it. He mulls it over. He thinks about it deeply. He ponders and he meditates, often emphasizing the priority that he placed on understanding God's presence in the lives of his people, Israel. I mean, if you want to trust someone and have faith in them, then you want to know their history. I can look back and see that during issues of my childhood, my teenage years, in college, early in our marriage, at the different places I've worked, while here in Ireland, God has always been there, walking with me through the trials and challenges of life. God has never failed me. He has never turned away his favor from me. His promises are always good and true every morning. His steadfast love has sustained me every moment of my days. And that's what the psalmist proclaims in verses 13 to 15. Your way, O God, is holy. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the people. You, with your mighty right arm, have redeemed your people. It has always been God. Even when the psalmist felt alone and in the depths of despair, God has always been there with him. And this leads the psalmist to give praise to the Lord. In the last five verses, the psalmist sings praises to the Lord as he remembers the most memorable moment in Jewish history as God brought his people out of Egypt, rescuing them from Pharaoh, as he describes the parting of the Red Sea so that all of Israel could walk on dry land, not even leaving a footprint in wet mud. God gets all the glory through the trials of life. As we lament, mourn, and grieve, we must never forget God's goodness and steadfast love. What did he do for us? He gave the greatest gift, his Son Jesus, as our Redeemer, so that we may have eternal life with him. That is the greatest memory that we can have. God sending his Son to be our perfect sacrifice on the cross. That is our moment to remember and the reason we sing praises to him and worship him. In 1979, my Grandma Webb died. In 1991 and 92, both grandfathers died. In 2000, my Grandma Wooten died. My mom died in 2002. My nephew in 2003. Lona had a miscarriage in around that same time. Her dad died in 2011, 2 days after we arrived in Ireland. My dad died last year. Many friends, cousins, uncles, and aunts in the U.S. and friends here have died during those years. A lot of pain and sadness. And I know that each of you could go through the last 40 years and have a similar list of family and friends. Everyone suffers pain and sorrow. But it is how you face those times and in whom you place your trust during those times. As we lament, let us never forget God's love and faithfulness. When Paul wrote Romans, he quoted a lament from Psalm 44. In Romans chapter 8, the great chapter of God's love and faithfulness, he quotes a lament. Let's close with the words of Paul in Romans 8, where it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things yet to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Paul lists several possibilities, and he quotes a psalm where the psalmist felt alienated from God, yet Paul reminds us that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus, not even death itself. If you are a follower of Christ and have placed your trust in Him, having faith in Him as your Redeemer, then there is nothing that can keep you from God's love. True biblical lament should move us from praying to God for help, praying our complaints to Him, praying our requests to Him, to praying our trust and praise to Him. Lament takes us from the depths of our pain and sorrow and moves us to praise and worship of Christ Jesus our Lord. Be faithful in your lament, and remember to praise and worship the one who saved you and redeemed you. Join Horatio Spafford in praise as he wrote in the second verse of his hymn, "Though Satan should buffet, if trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." Let's sing this song as we end this morning.